I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you broke some news today. So we initially get the word that Memphis and Baylor will be playing a home-and-home four-game series, correct? Two in Memphis, two in Baylor.
Yeah, bookended by the two in Memphis. So it's like it's here, and then the next two seasons are at Baylor, and then the last game is here, whatever date that's going to be played.
But that was not the only story, correct?
Correct. That is correct. The other part of the story is that, and it's a little bit in the weeds, but it's to me what I think is important about it is it's on the bigger picture, it's on the bigger scale. But to start at the beginning, so this game is going to be on CBS. The first Memphis Baylor game is going to be on CBS, and.
A third of the way to the Pac-12 number of games on CBS.
There you go.
Yep.
And so, you know, before Tim Pernetti took over as conference commissioner, the American Conference, and I don't know if this is like in alignment with what most conferences do, like most Group of Five conferences do, but if an AAC school scheduled was able to get a home game against a high profile opponent and that game wound up on linear TV, like CBS, for example, then there would be like the CBS would pay the conference a certain amount of money to broadcast that game. And the conference would then distribute that money amongst its entire membership. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was an equal share, that every school received an equal share, but every school received at least some
portion of the money
of the share. Well, now the way Tim Pernetti is doing things, it's like in alignment with his performance-based revenue distribution philosophy and his, I mean, like I wrote the story earlier this year where, you know, and we talked about it, you and I, about how the league outside of Memphis, the AAC teams, programs were scheduling atrociously in non-conference, and it was killing, you know, it made the AAC a one-bid league. And so Tim Pernetti's, one of his efforts to combat that is from now on, if an AAC team gets one of those high profile home games, and it winds up, for example, say on CBS, the school that plays in that game gets 100% of the broadcast payout. And in this case, that's Memphis. Memphis will get 100% of the money from CBS. And to sort of circle back and, you know, put it into what I think is the most important, put into perspective here is, you know, feel how you want to feel about Memphis being in the AAC or still being in the AAC.
I think that's the better way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel how you want to feel about that, but don't blame the AAC. Don't blame Memphis at this point. Like we reported, the Commercial Appeal reported a few weeks ago that Memphis got the highest payout of any Group of Five school
the 23-24 financials, right, which is the last set of financials that anyone has.
Yes, Memphis got more than any other Group of Five institution, and Tim Pernetti said recently that Memphis was going to make more than that this next go round, the 24-25 cycle, and it seems like they're going to make more than that the next go round, the 25-26 go round. So, you know, feel, you know, it just the point is, feel how you want to feel about Memphis still being in the American. But at the end of the day, Memphis is financially in the best position they can be in at this point, still in the AAC.
So obviously conference games would not factor, but right. Like, am I correct in assuming, well, the Utah State game, which is out of that, does it seem like the game has to be broadcasted outside of the conference's already existing television deal?
Now, yes. I think the short answer to that is yes. If it's like going to be on ESPN or something like that, like, it's not going to be as there's going to be some nuances to the deal. Obviously, you know, the AAC's already got a broadcast. The media rights partner with the AAC is ESPN. So, like, you're not – that's not exactly – that's kind of apples and oranges when you're talking about ESPN to CBS in terms of the American. But also, that game is on the road. So it's got to be anything that the AAC – where the AAC team – where the AAC controls the broadcast, like, it's their game. You know what I mean? So essentially just home games. Like, it wouldn't matter if it's Memphis versus Purdue in the Bahamas,
right?
And that happened to be on CBS. Like, that doesn't matter because it's not at Memphis. So, but yeah. So, like, if the Vanderbilt game, let's say, winds up on CBS. Then that would be Memphis would get 100% of the pie.
But if the Vanderbilt game winds up on ESPNU, it has to get picked up outside of the existing television deal, correct?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that that is like a strict, hard and fast thing. Like I said, I think there might be some nuance to that, but at least based on the explanation I was given. And the other part of it is, you know, it's unclear at this point exactly how much money it actually is. You know, I don't know if it's five figures, six figures, you know, high six figures. I don't know.
Honestly, when you broke the story, I was like, the first thing I want to see is, I'm curious to know what a game costs to CBS.
Yeah, and I would, you know, like, me too. I'm not sure we will know that, but at least not for a while. We might be privy to that information, like, at the end of next fiscal year.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. But if nothing else, we know that, let's say, previously, if it was Memphis hosting Alabama and that game was on CBS,
right?
We can reasonably assume that whatever the payout for that game was, Memphis got 50% of it and the rest of the league shared the other 50%. Whatever that amount of money is, whether it was $25,000, $150,000 or more, instead of getting 50% of that amount, Memphis and not just Memphis, if there's another American school who can, you know, do the same thing, if Temple can host, you know, I don't know, Cincinnati.
Or Nova, like, what if they do like a Philly game?
Right, and it's on CBS? Well, then Temple's going to get 100% of whatever the money is.
Because, like, the example, God, now how many years ago was it? When Memphis played Vandy on, like, it was like right around either...
It was right around Christmas.
Yeah, it was right around Christmas. I can't remember if it was like the Sunday after. But that game got picked up by CBS. That would have been an example where they would have gotten to keep the revenue.
That is correct. And, you know, again, we can reasonably assume it's in the six-figure range. You know, whether it's 100,000 or 500,000, we don't know. But you know, again, that sort of stands on its own, that information. But then it goes back to, you know, the whole thing about, like, if you want, Tim Pernetti is looking at his membership and he's saying, if you want more money, here's a way to do it. Start making some calls, start doing some work and scheduling. Don't schedule these games that torpedo your net and your KenPom, and you'll benefit in multiple ways. Not only will you benefit from, you know, more butts in the seats, you'll benefit from a resume, a March Madness resume standpoint, but you'll also benefit from a TV payout. Standpoint.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of that was similar, but it wasn't quite the same. So Gonzaga used to have a situation with the West Coast Conference where they basically created their own television deal for home games, and they negotiated keeping a larger percentage. Boise did the same thing with the Mountain West when Boise had football games. Like, they got to keep a certain percentage. But then that started to go away when people started renegotiating contracts. For Gonzaga, it went away when Gonzaga said, well, we're going to the Big 12 or whatever, we're going to the Pac-12. But I guess what I also take away from this is that Memphis is in a unique spot in that A big problem with these games is CBS are like, well, UAB, Alabama could be a big game. But how is UAB going to get the home game? Like, where Memphis is in the unique spot is that Penny has been able to get, I feel like, a larger portion of home and homes or more home games than these other schools have been able to do.
Yeah, now that is part of the story. Like, do we think that North Texas is going to be able to get, Oklahoma to come play in Denton? And would CBS want to air that game? I mean, historically, if you look over the last four or five seasons, there really only been, if you remove Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati from the equation, over the last four or five years, it's been almost exclusively Memphis. I think there has been probably less than a handful of other teams that wind up on CBS. Wichita State, I think, had a game on CBS, but I don't know that was non-conference. I'll do the digging. I'll start looking at it as soon as we get done here to see if that's actually happened in the last 3 years or 5 years where a team has had a CBS game against a non-conference opponent at home. But yes, that's part of this thing is like, I don't know that, it's like if FAU calls up, Todd Golden.
Yeah, let's say defending national champions, yeah.
And says, hey, let's get something going. I don't think Florida's going to want to go to the 500-seat arena in Boca and do that. As it stands right now, it's highly, sort of slanted toward one team in the American that can benefit from this strategy. But that team happens to be Memphis and that's worth something. It should be, in my mind. And again, I've said this numerous times over the last year, like, do not get me wrong. I am not advocating one way or the other for Memphis to leave the American or stay in the American. But what I kind of keep going back to is what I do push back on is those that feel like there's no point or no benefit to Memphis staying in the American. That's just not true. And the American keeps coming up with, every time you turn around, it seems like they are continuing to come up with like creative ways to incentivize Memphis to stay in the American. I just think that needs to, that shouldn't get lost.
No, I'm with you. I guess the other thing I was starting to think about, and there's probably no way you know this, but like I've paid attention to Boise. I feel like, as far as I know, Boise became the first school that outright said, we're going to take private equity money to try and basically level up and stay in competitive. I don't know if those are conversations Memphis has had, but I mean, don't you think at some point they're going to be conversations that Memphis is at least going to have to explore?
Yeah, probably. And I mean, Tim Pernetti from practically day one, when he was hired, that was stuff that he talked about. like openly, exploring the private equity side of things from the conference standpoint, and using that to make it more attractive for teams to either stay in the American or come to the American or join the American. And I think that those wheels are still moving. I don't know that there has been any sort of like announcement or any deals that have been finalized just yet. But yes, I mean, that is something else that I think we will start hearing more of in the future, both with the American and Memphis.
All right, and then we also learned last week that Memphis is scheduled a game with Vanderbilt. It is a home-and-home. December the 17th will be the home game. But also, right after we had your appearance last week where you said keep an eye on the international big front, the Tigers have added – so George sent me a pronunciation guide. I believe it is going to be Simon Mahjouk. Is that correct?
So, not quite. I talked to Simon last week, and I asked him to say his name for me.
The phonetic spelling of his name, or the phonetic sounding of his name?
It's not phonetic, because he's got his own, he's got the dialect from where he comes from in South Sudan. And there's sort of an emphasis on part of it that is not exactly common. So when he says it sounds the most like Mahjouk. And that, I think, is the way it's going to be pronounced when he gets here. So, Simon Mahjouk, 7'1", I believe.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.